Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. Jesse Wadhams, partner with Fenimore Craig. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Sam Kumar, Chris Wicker, and Randy Thompson. It's all coming up next on All New Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome to our new TV show, Jesse Wadhams, off council with Fenimore Craig. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Welcome back to the air.
Thank you. Let's talk about mining. It seems like mining is setting the stage because all the major companies are looking out 30 years with their projects.
I think that's right. I think you've seen through the mining recession, essentially, which they might object to that term, but I think you saw a real slowdown in that area, and the cost cutting and the looking forward and setting up new plans, I think, has really set them up well for, you know, a solid future. Those mines are on target. They're hitting longer term goals. You've got new projects in the pipeline. So I think it is a good time to look at that industry and say that they have sort of right-sized the ship and they're moving forward well.
And which is great for rural Nevada's economy.
Exactly. I think it all of those counties where mining exists tend to do better than the counties where it doesn't, and that's, I think, a net positive for rural Nevada and for urban Nevada, because in urban Nevada doesn't have to further subsidize anything.
And the fact that they're good-paying jobs.
Exactly. Those are great-paying jobs. The last data I saw was those are the average mining wage is somewhere in the neighborhood of $90,000 a year, so spectacularly good jobs.
One of the other areas that you specialize in is healthcare. And as you look at the Congress and what's happened with Obamacare, which is basically nothing at this point in time, where do you think we're heading with this? Because it seems to me, you know, as our loyal viewers know, God bless Medicare for me,
right?
Because that's lowered my cost dramatically. And it makes me kind of wonder why we are not looking at a Medicare for all type situation, even if initially we dropped it to, say, 55 to 65, and then progress towards it. But the cost differential is just unbelievable.
Well, those out-of-pocket costs especially, I think you're right. As to predicting where Congress and this administration want to go with health care, that's, I think, a fool's errand. So I don't know that I could quite give you any good sense of where they're going. You really have probably a destabilization of the ACA over the course of time, which has created market instability for insurers. You're seeing insurers come out of the exchange markets, cost increases for on-exchange plans. So we really, as a country, need to figure out what we want to do in the healthcare space. I think you've seen, you just continue to see the cost of delivery continue to rise. And as you know, you talk about Medicare, Medicaid especially for providers doesn't even come close to matching the cost of service.
Well, as I talk to doctors, they're telling me that those are the patients they don't want.
Well,
they can't afford them.
You can't afford them. You, the provider, are subsidizing that where, you know, normally that would be part of the social safety net. So what they've done is just pass those costs along to providers because in some places they're 50% under the cost of the services rendered.
Where do you think that we're going to end up with Medicaid as we go towards the next session? Because, you know, a lot of people don't realize that when you have an election for a new governor, the old governor is the one that builds the budget, and there's not a lot of tinkering that really gets done, maybe around the margins, but not a whole lot. So where do you think it's heading because of Governor Sandoval's expansion of Medicaid?
Well, that's one of those things about this upcoming session that's going to be so interesting to see, right? We've got this Governor Sandoval's expansion, the continued cost shift from the feds to the state, as you know, it was originally 100% funded by the feds, and now it's just stepping down. So those costs are increasing for the continued expansion population. I tend to think that these slate of gubernatorial candidates on all sides aren't going to want to tinker too much with that particular budget item, because I think Medicaid expansion has probably been a net benefit to the state overall. You saw a huge jump in the number of lives covered, almost 50%
right.
More, right? So I think that's the other piece you mentioned is trying to redo a governor's budget who's coming off of 8 years and a new governor coming in on January 1, essentially, with a session coming just a month later. Trying to redo that is a big job. The only story I've ever heard where one governor did it was, Senator Bryan came in and redid the budget completely, but it's usually not.
But then that Senator Bryan.
Yes.
He was probably, you know, from way prior to Election Day, studying the budget and figuring out.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
Whilst visiting with hundreds of people in
exactly.
His office. All right, let's take a break. More with Jesse Wadhams when we come back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. We can save you money and add comfort and value to your home. To find out how, check out our new website. If you visit the site before June, you could win $1,000 cash in a random drawing. Just enter your name, Nevada zip code, and email, and you could be the lucky winner. Go to homeenergyexperts.com. That's homeenergyexperts.com. Must be 18 or older. The drawing will be held June 1st.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
call Marilyn Miner Addiction Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, our guest is Jesse Wadhams, off council with Fenimore Craig. So the tax cuts that we saw from the federal government, they've just produced astonishing results across this country.
I think, you know, you see that. You see companies are seeming to reinvest. Those cuts do sort of filter back through the economy. Maybe it's shareholder value. Maybe it's employee bonuses. But I think it has done a good job of continuing, at least in my view, continuing the progress of the economy and continuing us on a path that is an economic expansion. So I think, I guess voters will weigh in on it in November, but it seems so far that you'd have to say it's probably a net positive.
In all my conversations with people, from those working in grocery stores to those working in banks, it doesn't seem to me that anybody's complaining.
Well, as you know, the economy's been doing very well. Employment's at very low. So I think we've got little to complain about overall. I think, would we all like to see things going much faster? Sure. But folks seem to have a little bit of money in their pocket. Things are spending. Buildings are going up. So I think, all in all, we're on the right track.
I think the biggest thing we need is housing, period. Both ends of the state.
Both ends of the state. I think that's exactly right. And I don't think they can build them fast enough. And I think, you've got those infrastructure concerns with roads and sewers and all sorts of things that you've got to continue to upgrade all the time. So hopefully we can continue to grow, expand, and have the economy continue, I think, to become more dynamic so that the next downturn isn't as severe.
Short of a 9/11 type downturn, God forbid, the diversification, especially in northern Nevada, has been so astonishing. But even in southern Nevada, where they've gone from just being gaming to being so much more, mm-hmm. and where gaming has dropped to being around the low 30% of revenues, and building an entertainment capital, a sports capital. I mean, it's hard to see where the downturn would come in this particular cycle.
Well, and I think that's, again, where we need to get, where I think Governor Sandoval, Steve Hill, now Paul Anderson and Gowet, they've done a remarkable job of diversifying the economy so that those troughs can be mitigated somewhere else. So I think you're exactly right. I mean, Vegas has rebuilt itself into full entertainment package. It's not just go get the all-you-can-eat buffet and get a room and gamble. It's, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights. You've got great shows. You've got any type of bar, club you want if you want to spend. So I think, and then you've got a diversification also with tech companies, Zappos with their downtown project in southern Nevada, and our northern Nevada, the trick and the development around that, creating a new ecosystem that is providing new jobs, new opportunities.
Do you have concern that some of the counties, especially in the north, are not prepared for the growth? I mean, I interviewed Jeff Page, the county manager of Lyon County, and he was telling me they don't even have water secured at this point in time for the growth that is heading towards them like a steam train.
I think that's right. It does. I think there is concern there. And I say, from a personal sort of view, it seems to me we need to do a better job of looking at growth in a regional way. We talk about a regional master plan, but typically that focuses on the three counties here, the three jurisdictions, Washoe County, Sparks, and Reno. But I think that needs to also start to include Churchill County, probably down Carson City, on into Douglas County, because I think the growth that we're looking at, if we can continue to grow the way we hope and the economy continues to expand, I think all of the whole region begins to need to look at growth and where that needs, all of those placements need to be.
All right. So that said, is this a legislative issue? Is this where you're going to see some kind of regional center? And then you start to see the potential for conflicts between, you already got conflicts going on between Washoe County and Reno at this point in time, with Reno trying to take more and more land and power away from the county, which is an ongoing battle. But there's been talk, not a lot publicly, but about the revenues that Story County is getting from the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, but the costs are being borne by other places. Is this going to blow up? I mean, Skip Daly tried to bring something to the legislature right. 2 years ago, and it blew up in his face. Do you think it would still blow up in his face this time around? Because I understand those conversations are still going on.
It's hard to think that those conversations aren't going on, because I don't think the issues that arise from growth in one county, especially where Story County has more of the industrial manufacturing, and that is one type of growth. But then you've got to put those people, their kids, somewhere, and have the attendant sort of growth in the other counties. I think it is pushing issues around. Is it a legislative issue? Yeah, I think that's a fact. I think living in a Dillon's Rule state, the state will have to sort of mandate that the counties and local jurisdictions come together. What that looks like, I mean, that's those regional infighting issues are almost like putting your hand in a blender, and I'm not really excited for those debates, but
well,
I think they have to happen.
You know, the last time that we had huge battles between Reno Sparks and Washoe County was when Justice Hardesty was a district court judge, and he was supervising what they were supposed to be doing and threatening to put people in jail if they didn't do what he said. And it would be interesting to see if we come to that kind of situation again.
One would hope not, I think.
But I mean,
but
it's true.
It is true.
For those who have not been around a while.
No, and when we don't, we oftentimes get a little parochial, and I think that's
what?
All of us. So we're Nevadans, and we like to do things the way we want to do them, right? But I think we are going to these challenges are not going to go away, and so we are going to have to look at how we approach these things differently in a collaborative way, and hopefully we can. We can come together in a way that is meaningful.
From my father's words would be from your mouth to God's ears. That's where we got to leave it. Thanks. Jesse, always a pleasure to see you.
Thanks,
my friend.
Sam.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Sam Kumar is here. He's past chairman of the Washoe County Republicans. Chris Wicker is a former state Democratic Party chair, vice chair, I should say, and a member of the DNC. And Randy Thompson is with the National Federation of Independent Business. Pleasure to have you all here. So let me start with you, Sam, which is that the Trump administration got hit yesterday with the decision to end DACA. Not going to happen. It has to go forward. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it'll probably end up in the Supreme Court. And I'm confused as to what grounds they used. They said arbitrary and capricious. it seems to me that the judge's ruling is the one that's arbitrary and capricious. It makes no sense, regardless of what side of the issue you're on, whether you're sympathetic to the DACA folks or if you're not. That's irrelevant. It was an executive order by President Obama. If a president has the ability to issue an executive order, then another president has the ability to revoke that. So I don't understand what grounds they have.
Chris?
I think several federal judges have required the Trump administration to continue the DACA program on basically the same grounds that you, and this judge in particular gave the administration, I think, 90 days to come back and say, can you express a better reason for taking the action you're taking? But in the end, that's a good thing because it's a very dramatic impact on people. And if you're going to act arbitrary and capriciously, then I think there should be some kind of brakes on that. And he's not the only federal, or she's not the only federal judge to make that kind of a ruling. And the irony of all this is that you've had President Trump, you've had Republican leaders and Democratic leaders say they want to implement the DACA program in some fashion, and it just doesn't get done. And here we have the federal courts giving a breath of life to it, and we'll see what happens.
Randy?
Oh, it just shows the inability of Congress to act. I mean, this has been in their realm for a long time, and they're just so paralyzed right now by the polarization of strong speak on both sides. They just can't get their act together and do what they're supposed to do.
Well, you know, immigration is always the most polarizing issue. But if we can't get DACA done, how do we get comprehensive immigration reform?
Mm-hmm. Well, they interviewed some folks, I think it was in Texas, and it was in Arizona on the recent special election they had where the Republican congressperson won. And the persons that voted for the Republican said, oh, immigration is the most important thing to me. We want to vote her in so that we can support Trump getting the wall. And on the Democratic side, well, we voted for the Democrat because we really don't think that the wall is necessary. We don't want that to happen. So that was a big issue in that special election in Arizona.
Well, and of course, the irony is that more people come in on a tourist visa and overstay that visa than ever come across the border.
Well, and the challenge, Steve Jobs is meeting with the president today, and I bet you HB1 visas is on his list. I mean, we've got to look at the kind of, and I know Sam's commented on this before. I mean, it's not just the DACA folks that are being dealt with. It's the folks that are trying to come here and that are needed for our economy. We welcome them, but we're not even dealing with that issue.
Do you want to respond?
Well, I think comprehensive immigration reform has to happen at some point of time. H-1B, all of those things, but the starting point, let's put together a package. And unfortunately, they're not able to draw any kind of conclusion. I think to some extent, one side is looking at it as a political opportunity. The longer this is lingering in the background, the more they get to, you know, use it as an election issue. Yeah. But sooner or later, we need to get past that kind of a game and produce some results.
Okay, so for us to solve this, then we need to take a break from having elections every other year, and then that'll give us time to get immigration reform done. Because the last time it was from 1977 was when they first started under Jimmy Carter examining immigration, and it took till 86 for Reagan to sign the bill. So, I mean, these things, you know, take a long time to get done. And the last time that we had a serious look at it, it was Harry Reid, George W. Bush, and John McCain until McCain decided to run for president, and then that blew up.
Well, you know, I would like to see folks concentrate a little more on the economic side of it. You know, the emotional side of it creates great partisanship and animosity, but the economic side of immigration in this country is very positive for immigration. You see countries like Japan, even China, and Eastern Europe, Russia are aging, and they're having fewer young workers to support the aging population. The United States has really not suffered that in large degree because we've had immigration of young people, both legal and illegal, but we've had immigration of basically labor into this country. And it's been a positive economic impact for us.
Well, the other thing, too, is that we had the Great Recession. And so we weren't feeling it as much. Now, with the economy booming, we have essentially full employment. And we're going to need more workers. I mean, there's no two ways about it. We're going to need more workers.
Yeah, we do. But I think the type of immigration matters. And America reserves the right to choose who walks into this country. We cannot, how do you explain to someone sitting in Ethiopia, as an example, who is waiting in line to get into this country while we are letting people stream across the border? That kind of stuff has to stop. I think that's where Congress has to step in and come in with a comprehensive plan and determine who gets to come into this country instead of letting anyone walk
all
in
right,
because
but,
of
but,
an opportunity.
But you missed the point I made earlier, which is that the more people come on tourist visas, so your friend from Ethiopia could apply to come here as a tourist and overstay their visa, that's a far greater number of people than are coming across the southern border where enforcement is at the highest level it's ever been.
Agreed. Totally agreed. I think that's why I'm talking about a comprehensive plan which needs to address all of that. I think wall is a symbolic thing, but we need to address all kinds of visa overstays or non-visa arrivals.
Well, it's a misstatement, though, to say that people are streaming over the border and we let anybody stream over the border that we want. Even under Bush, Obama, and now Trump, there's been strong enforcement at the border. There's not an open border, as people are fond of saying.
All right. Then how did so many people get here?
50,000 a month? This is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a lot less than it has been in the past. And a lot of people are coming to the border and turning themselves in because they're coming from repressed governments. Mm-hmm. So let's take a break. We're going to hold you over to our next show, so we'll be right back.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Next broadcast, local reporter Sean Whaley will join us. We'll see you then.